Morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 14. Matthew 15, 1 through 14. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever shall say to his father or mother, 'Anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or his mother, and thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' And after he called the multitude to him, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. And we just praise you this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just want to, you know, take this day and glorify you and bring you joy all throughout today. So help us, Lord, just to give you this first part of the morning, of the day. And we invite you to come and speak to us, Lord, and to move in our hearts, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this passage, it talks about the Pharisees, right? They come to Jesus and they actually just ask him a question. They say, but they're accusing, and it's not just a question, right? It's a kind of a judgment that they're making on the disciples, saying, "Hey, you know, your disciples don't wash their hands like the tradition of the elders tell us to before they eat." And Jesus knows their heart, right? He perceives that they're coming with this judgmental attitude. So he kind of gets pretty upset, and he says, "Hey, you actually, you know, transgressed the commandment of God." So the disciples might have not kept up with the tradition of the elders. It wasn't necessarily from the law, right, that the Lord gave, but Jesus is saying, "You guys actually missed the law of the Lord that came from the Lord." And he says, you know, and the practice that they were doing, apparently, is, you know, obviously, the Lord says, you know, you need to honor your father and mother. But these guys, whatever they could have used to help the mother or the father, they would say, "Oh, it has been given over to the Lord." But that's just what they say. They can say it, and then they could do whatever they want with the, "Oh, this land that I could use to bless you, it has been given over to the Lord." So it's like a binding agreement. So they can't give it away to the parents, but then they could use it for whatever purposes they wanted. So Jesus kind of rebukes them and says, "You know, you're actually breaking the command of God." And then he rebukes them, right? Using Isaiah's passage from verse 8 and 9, it says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." So this morning, I wanted to focus on that as well and talk about, you know, how we shouldn't fall into that trap of putting tradition and just kind of principles before our relationship with God. And that's really the religious spirit, right? The religious spirit kind of puts principles and traditions before our relationship with God. But this passage here in verse 8 and 9, it tells us clearly what God wants from us, right? He doesn't want lip service, and He doesn't want us to just kind of go through the motions to keep with the commandments, right? He really wants a heart connection with us, right? He wants our hearts to be turned towards Him. He wants our hearts to be close to Him, right? He says, but your heart is far away from me. And so that's what the Lord wants, right? He wants us to have this relationship with Him that is from the heart, that is out of the heart. Not just a mental or intellectual kind of understanding of Him, or kind of this just physical, like going through the motions, you're just doing the action, but your heart is far away. He doesn't want that either. But I realize a lot of us, myself included, we try to figure God out, right? That's something we want to do, you know? So we will use our intellect, you know, and we'll come up with these principles, right? Some people might say it's a kingdom principle. For example, tithing is a kingdom principle. You know, like, oh, if you tithe, God's going to bless you. And it's true, right? If we tithe, God's going to bless us. And there's a bunch of other principles that we kind of follow. Or we take these, you know, theology classes, and we read the Bible, and we try to put God into this box and say, well, yeah, God is this way, you know? Like, we try to figure Him out, and we try to figure out, like, principles and ways in which God operates, and then we just expect Him to kind of follow, you know, these principles that we've kind of set up, you know? So if we read about something that kind of goes outside of the box, you know, books like Job, you know, puts God really outside of the box. And there's other stories in the Bible that you read and you're like, you know, that doesn't sound like the God that I have put in my box, you know? Because I expect Him to be a certain way. I expect Him to, I don't know. I don't want to say so, because I realize I put God in a box. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I didn't expect God to be like that, you know? I didn't expect Him to behave that way. But, you know, God's just God, you know? We can't figure Him out or put Him in a box and say, these are the principles in which He operates. And if you just obey it, it's going to be good. I'm not saying that the principles are wrong, because most of these kingdom principles that we talk about, even, you know, a lot of the times preachers preach about principles, right? This is how you should live your life, and God's going to bless you. And, you know, it's true. These principles are true. But I think what happens is we miss the point, and we kind of get more focused on the principle, right? Like tithing, for example, right? The whole point is that our heart is trusting the Lord and really acknowledging that every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord, and it's an attitude of thanksgiving. But if we just get so focused on the principle and say, yeah, if we tithe, God's going to bless, and we just kind of want to, if we focus, you know, our heart on meeting that standard or whatever, you know, then we miss the point of loving God, and we miss the point of giving thanks to God and really acknowledging Him and having this heart connection. Another way this kind of gets demonstrated, this attitude of putting tradition or principles ahead of the relationship, I find what happens is some Christians will focus on how to get as close to sin as possible, but make sure that you're not sinning, you know? That's what we did all the time when I went to a Christian university. We would always define everything. We would define, what does it mean to lust? So then, oh yeah, so if I do this and this, that's sin. But if I just stay here, we try to get as close to sinning as possible. And our school, we had to sign a contract that said, we're not going to gamble, we're not going to drink, and we're not going to smoke while we're in university, you know, during the semester. Right? We're not going to do that. We have to sign a contract. But we try to define everything, and we say, well, is this really, you know, is this really sinning? Is this really breaking the contract? You know, like, just everything, every little thing. We would always sit there and talk about how can we get as close to sinning as possible, and swearing. You know, we would all, because there will be guys that really like to swear because it's funny or whatever. And we're like, you know, does God like that? Is that a sin? And we always start defining sin. Like, is this a sin to swear? And, you know, in which way? If you use it to put someone down, yeah, then it's a sin. But if you use it, you know, just for joking around, then I think it's okay. You know, we always try to define sin so that we can get as close to sin as possible, because we have this false perception that sinning is more fun, more enjoyable than actually living a righteous life, right? So we try to do that, and then we hope that we don't fall into sin. But, you know, that's missing the point, right? I mean, if we had a heart relationship with God, and our really, truly our desire was to live for Him and to love Him and to go as close to Him as possible, we're not going to mess around with, well, let's get as close to sin as possible and then hope that, you know, we're not actually sinning so that God will still, I don't know, God will still accept us. You know, it's totally wrong, but we get into that mindset. If we focus on the tradition, if we focus on us keeping the law, and we miss that heart connect with the Lord. And just on a side note, you know how we have that false perception, I don't know if you guys do, but I struggle with it, that we sometimes think sinning and living by the world's way is actually more enjoyable than living in righteousness. And this passage has been speaking to me for a while now. It's Psalm 45, verse 7. It says, "You have," talking about Jesus, "you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy," or with the oil of gladness, "above your fellows," right? Jesus is one, He loved righteousness and He hated wickedness. And it says, because of that, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows, meaning you are the most glad person on the face of the planet, you know? And I really believe, you know, I really want to live this out. And I want to be like, yeah, I want to have this mindset of happy holiness, you know, joyful surrender, of knowing and trusting God that if I really, truly turn away from wickedness and live for God, He's going to fill my heart with true gladness and true joy, right? In God's presence is fullness of joy. So, just on a side note, right? But let's go back to this idea of having a heart relationship with God. I've been listening to Exodus ever since Pastor O came and told us that he listens to the Bible 10 times a year. I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. So I've been doing that on my Bible, listening to Exodus and Genesis and Exodus. You know, these people don't figure God out, you know? Like I said earlier, you know, we always try to figure God out and we try to put Him in a box and say, you know, this is how God's going to be, and this is how our relationship with God works like. And if we do this, and He's going to do that. And you know, we try to figure Him out. But these people, you know, reading through Exodus, they don't figure Him out, you know? It's just who God is. Like, if we read something that and God does something outside of our box that we've put Him in, we say, God, that's messed up. You know, we try to, like, justify, and how do we put God back into this box, and how do we interpret this passage so that He fits into this mold that we have made Him. But these people are not like that, right? It's just their relationship with God. They're figuring God out for the first time, and they're meeting with Him, and they're just accepting Him kind of for who He is, and that's God. God is God, and they're just happy to have a relationship with Him, and they're happy that He is, that God is with them and for them, you know? And I think sometimes we need to do that, you know? We need to kind of don't focus so much on the principles, you know? Even like, this is something Bill Johnson says, right? He he prays for healing all the time, right? And he has a certain principles, you know, that he holds on to, you know. But he says every time he prays for someone, if he puts principle before relationship, he falls into that trap of the religious spirit. You know, so every time he prays for someone for healing or breakthrough, he wants to connect with God and say, God, how do you want to do it this time? You know, because you see that with Jesus too, right? He has all these different methods of healing. It's never one thing. It's never, oh, he lays hands on the person and he gets healed. Sometimes he'll spit on the ground, get some mud, put it on the eye. Sometimes he, spits on the person. Sometimes he just says, hey, go, and you're healed. You know, he has all these different ways. So he's like, yeah, I go to God and I try to hear from God what he wants to do, how he wants to heal this person, instead of relying on a principle or relying on a method, you know. So I believe our antidote for against falling into this trap of just trying to meet the standard and trying to live a righteous life and putting tradition and law before our relationship is for us to experience his love, you know? If we truly were able to experience God's love and remember his love, I think every day, you know, then we can stay, passionate in our heart, you know? How do we grow in our passion for the Lord if we understand his passion for us, right? If we understand how much he loves us, how he has an unfailing love, unending love, you know, that's passionate. And if we get that, if we experience that, then I think we can stay away from falling into this trap of the putting tradition and principles before relationship. So Chelsea's going to come and lead us. But, you know, in this song talks about the greatness of God and yet how he loves us, you know, and then it goes into the response of how we will stand, you know, with everything surrendered and we'll worship God. And that's kind of how it is, you know. If we really experience him first, his greatness, his power, and yet his love for us, his passionate love for us, then it moves us in our heart. And I'd encourage you, you know, everyone here, if your heart doesn't move you, we should seek for that. You know, we should strive after a relationship with God where it really moves us from the inside, right? Where we love him from the depths of our heart, you know? And I think we should take it seriously if church and God is just boring, you know? I think it's an issue. We should think about that and be like, God, that's not right. Because that's not loving him from the heart. You know, if everything that we do in Christianity is all duty and all just, I'm just trying to be a good person, trying to live for God, but we don't have that movement in our heart, you know, that draws us close to him. You know, let's go before the Lord and ask him to change our heart and do something so that we can overcome this. So let's worship together.
For this
For our church, let's pray that our church, our brothers and sisters will not fall into this trap of, you know, the Pharisees fell into, where we put the law and just tradition and kind of keeping with the law ahead of our heart relationship with God. And just like that chorus said, that we would really stand before the Lord, you know, with our heart abandoned to Him, you know, in this love and passion for Him, you know. Let's pray for our church that we, you know, like the church in Revelation, that we would go back to the first love, that we would really, truly love God passionately from our heart. Yeah, so let's pray together for our church. As I was praying, I just wanted to clarify. I'm not saying we don't do the things. You know, we do the obedience part and we do the commitment part to the Lord. But we do that with the heart thing as well, you know? And I believe if our heart is truly turned towards God, and if our heart's truly passionate about God, we would go way further than someone who is just staying committed and doing all these things out of duty, you know? And that's what God wants. He wants lovers, not workers. And lovers will always outwork God in the end because they do it out of a passion. They do it out of an overflow from their heart, right? So that's what we're going for, you know, in our church as well. And let's pray for our house church leaders. We've been praying for a different ministry every time. And let's pray for the house church ministry as a whole, and also your own house church leader. Pray that God would bless them, and pray that God would bless this ministry, that it wouldn't be just another thing to do in the week, but that it would truly be a place of love and place of ministry and place of worshiping God together. So let's pray for our house church ministry and the house church leaders. Let's pray for our church service. We have intercessory prayer tomorrow, and we have missions training for the Cambodia team tomorrow. And then Sunday service. Actually, there's youth group tomorrow night, and then Sunday service. Pastor Sam will be back. He will be preaching. Let's pray for him. Pray for Chris. He's going to be leading worship for us. And then, also for Sunday school at 10 a.m. So let's pray for the weekend. Let's pray that God would really come, that we would really be able to meet with him in this weekend as we have our different services and gatherings together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We truly do want to love you, God. We don't want to give you lip service, God, but we pray that our heart will be close to you, Lord. That when we confess to you our love, and when we sing to you, God, and even when we serve and do the things, God, and when we work for you, that it will be from the bottom of our hearts, God. It will be a love response to you, Lord. So keep us, God, and move in our church, Lord, so that we can guard this heart connection with you, this nearness to you, you know, from the heart. And watch over us today, God. We want to really live for you today. But we need you, God. Every day we need you, God. And Lord, I just pray your blessing over each person and your protection. I pray that you put your hedge of protection over each person, God, from the evil one, God, that the enemy will not be able to get into any of their mind or their heart or their finances or their health, Lord, and that you just bless us today as we seek to live for you, and we worship you this morning, Father. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Bless you guys. Have a great day.